Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, visiting here, want to say a special welcome to you. Thanks for joining us. We're a church that meets in more than one location. So at this point in the service, we're connected to our Torrance campus right now. So hi to everybody at Torrance. It was great being there yesterday for our volunteer summit. Great to connect with everybody, but especially being at that campus. It's such a great layout, and we get to do a lot of great things there. We are continuing in a series of messages called Finding Your Rhythm, and the idea behind this series is that we all live by certain rhythms in life, the routines, the rituals, the relationships that kind of move our lives along. Some of those rhythms we choose, some are chosen for us, some we just get into a groove in one way or another. The question is, though, are the rhythms of our life forming us into who God has created us to be? And so what we're doing in this series is we're looking at some of the rhythms of Jesus's life. How did Jesus live his life, and how did he instruct his followers to live according to certain spiritual rhythms so that they could be who God created them to be? And so each week we're looking at some of these rhythms that's going to take us all the way up to celebrating Easter together. I mentioned how some of those rhythms we choose and some are chosen for us. Let me tell you about a rhythm that was chosen for me unexpectedly at the end of last year. My wife and I, we set up a date to go see Janet Jackson in the last night of her residency at the Yamava Casino. So here's a picture of us, and we're there. We're so excited. It was great. So we got in the car, and my wife drives. When we go places, she drives. She's a better driver than me. She doesn't trust me behind the wheel. And so, because I'm easily distracted by stuff and things like that. So she's usually about it. And when she's driving her car, and she wants to listen to her particular kind of music, and she likes to sing, and she doesn't want to be interrupted. And I'm like, no problem. So, you know, it's like a 2.5-3 hour drive out there to that casino. And we get in about 20 minutes in. I'm like, well, I got my phone. I'll read a book. I'll kind of scroll on social media. About 20 minutes in, I realize my phone is almost dead. And there's not a matching charger in the car. So it's like, I've got no phone for 3 hours. Here is a picture of what my brain looked like for 3 hours that day. I was like, what do I do? I was like a car passenger from the 1900s. Like, what am I gonna do? Look at mountains or something? I'm like sitting there, and I'm like not into the music too much. And I'm like, oh, I was just thinking. She's like, shh. I'm like, all right. So I'm like looking around, looking at cars, stuff comes to my mind. Some stuff came to my mind. I was like, I don't want to think about that. So I reach over for my phone and it's dead. I'm like, well, I guess I have to think about it now. You know, like, what do I do in that space? And I was so present in the moment, more present than I've been in a long time. I don't know if you have that experience where you're like, here I am. And I thought, I should probably try to incorporate that kind of presentness in my life more often. Because we live in such a like distractible world today. Our world is all about, let's spend a lot of time thinking about the past. Let's spend a lot of time thinking about the future. And if we're in the present, let's kind of distract ourselves from the present. And there's something about just being here. For the good and the bad. Here's the main idea I want to share with you today. We can connect with God by being more prayerfully present in our lives. And I think some of what I'm going to share with you today is actually probably helpful given what's going on in our world right now, especially this weekend. Because I think some of us are like, we're kind of, oh, what am I going to do? And we're thinking about the future and we're thinking about the past. And it's like, there's something powerful about being in the moment. In fact, let's try for a moment, because some of you have not arrived to church yet. You're here, but you're really not here, okay? So what I'm gonna do, let's just take a moment, and in this moment, would you say, God, help me to be here right now. And then as I continue, I'm gonna talk about 25 minutes, and then we're gonna end the service. If you find yourself leaving in your head, kind of gently redirect yourself back to the moment that we're all in together. So just kind of take a moment, close your eyes, and just invite yourself to be here. We can connect with God by being more prayerfully present in our lives. Let me share with you a couple of ways. Here's the first one. Remember that God is always present everywhere. Now, some of you are like, well, yeah, of course. But sometimes we don't live that way. One time, Jesus was talking to some people who were trying to understand his teachings and his way of looking at the world, and they were very worried about their lives. And Jesus stopped, and he looked out into the natural world, and he said this. He said, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And he's like, let's not stop at looking at the birds. He said, let's look at some flowers. He said, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, one of the great kings of the Old Testament, in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And then he concludes with this. He says, if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you. Jesus had this way of just kind of stopping and saying, wait a minute, if you're overwhelmed with stuff, just be present, kind of look around and realize God's actively involved everywhere, right where we're at. There's a really great book in Christian literature called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's written by a French monk back in the 1600s. And his job at his monastery was cooking and cleaning the kitchen. And this whole book is about how he would practice a rhythm of realizing that God was present in the ordinary things of life. And it's a really interesting book. I bought it online. It's like 99 cents online that you can get it. And the idea of practicing the presence of God, reminding us, it needs to be a rhythm of being aware of God's presence. Now, Jesus did it. Brother Lawrence spent a lot of time trying to master this spiritual rhythm. Why is it so hard for us? Let me share with you some obstacles that we have in being present. One is we have a commitment to busyness. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In many of our minds, we feel like being very busy is good. Some of us might actually feel like being very busy is spiritual. Like, I'm super spiritual, because look how busy I am. I'm always doing stuff. Isn't that good? But that can actually sabotage a sense of presentness and quietness that our soul requires. So our busyness is a big part of that. In the South Bay, we're all kind of struggling just to live here, you know, so we're just busy. And we might have adopted that culture. and that might not be good for us. Here's another one, constant social media input. Media input in general, but definitely social media. We get in the car, turn on our music. Get home, turn on the TV. I can't sleep. Let me go on TikTok. That's me. We just go there. In fact, some of you, the idea of reaching for your phone has become a reflex. Have you ever done that, where you're at home and you go, and there's nothing there because you left your phone somewhere else, and you're like, why did I just do this? It's a big part of life. I grew up in the 80s, and in the 80s, boredom was a normal thing. Like, you're just bored. It's like, what am I gonna do? And so you had to find stuff to do, and you had to use your imagination, and there was a sense of presentness in that, that I feel like, and this is maybe one of the parenting challenges, we have lost the art of boredom. Because boredom does something to us creatively, right? Here's another one. We have unhelpful prayer language. This is for the Christians. We say stuff like, Lord, would you just show up? And God's like, I was here before you showed up. What are you talking about? Like, oh God, would you just be in this room? It's like, I'm here before a room existed. I'm here all the time. What are you talking about? Or when something amazing happens, oh boy, God really showed up. Well, he showed up when something negative happened too. God's everywhere. I know what we're saying. Some of us might be asking God to show up, but we might actually, for you Christians, you might be borrowing language and a worldview from the Old Testament, where there was this idea that if God was going to be present, God would show up or dramatically come from the heavens and arrive. But in the New Testament, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. All the language, there's no God show up language in the New Testament. That's not what it's about. So sometimes we use that language, and inadvertently, it creates the idea that if God is going to be present, I have to summons God. That's not actually how it works. If what we're really saying is, God, help me be present. Help me show up. Because God's already there. And then the other one is, and it's directly related, that it's this secular versus spiritual places. Like you go out, some of you love the mountains. You're like, boy, when I'm in the mountains, God is just there. It's like, God's at your work too. Oh, when I go to the beach, that's where God is. Yeah, God's at the line at the DMV too. He's a lot more annoyed, it's like, no, God's everywhere. So we use that kind of language, and what we're doing is we're kind of believing our own press. When we say those things, we tend to believe them, and then we think God is more present in some places than in other places. What we're really saying is, I am more present in some places than other places, which puts the onus on me. If I'm like sensing that God is not present in this place, I need to show up. Maybe I need to do some work to remind myself that God is fully present here. I think that a big issue is this, is when we experience temptation or suffering or hardship, that we go, God, where are you? God's like, I'm right here. The Psalms are a beautiful picture of this in the Bible, the songbook of the Bible, this poetry where you do have people saying, God, where are you in the midst of my hardship? And then you also have lines like this. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, there you are. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, what a great, beautiful phrase. If I dwell by the farthest oceans, this is really good. This was written by a Hebrew poet, and the Hebrews were land and desert people. They're not ocean-faring people. You know, the Hebrews, when they think about the ocean, they think about the Red Sea swallowing up the Egyptians. You know, they think about Jonah being caught up by a whale. Like, it's a dangerous place. For the Hebrew person to write, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, it means when I am far from home and I am subject to the unknown and chaos and even geographic areas that scare me, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So here's an action step for us. Take time each day this week to remind yourself of and be present with God. Just for a moment each day, stop and remind yourself that God is there and you can be there too. And here's a few ways that you can do that. Talk to God throughout the day. Don't be like, well, I prayed in the morning where God was, wherever I pray, and then I prayed at night. It's like, well, God's with you throughout the entire day. What if you just talk to God throughout the day? I do that all the time, especially in the car, because I'll put my earbuds in and people will think I'm talking to somebody on the phone. So I can talk to God all day long because it makes it look like I'm doing something. So they don't think I'm a crazy person. Put the earbud in there. Or maybe they think it's the speakerphone in the car. Otherwise, you're talking to yourself, and that doesn't go well that much. Recognize distraction and offer it to God. There are times in your day where you're just all over the place. And you know that feeling. Just take a moment and say, I'm kind of going in every direction. Let me just take a moment. Kind of ground myself a little bit. I was thinking about that movie Die Hard, when in the opening of the movie, he gets Bruce Willis's character gets a little motion sickness, and he's a little distracted, and he has some jet lag and stuff, and the guy on the plane says, you should take off your shoes and just press your toes into the carpet. And he gets to the hotel, and he's like, oh, that works. You know what that is? That's a grounding technique. It's just another way to remind your soul through your body that you exist in God's world. You're here, right? Here's another way. Sit in moments of quietness. Maybe do some journaling. Rather than you turn on the music the minute you get in the car, or you turn home, you go home, turn on the TV, reach for your phone. If there's a moment of quietness, just sit in it. Maybe for just 30 seconds. Maybe just write down what came to your mind. Or how it felt. Here's another one. Refuse to live in nostalgia or fantasy. What I mean by this is sometimes we have unpleasant thoughts and feelings, and we go to two places. We either go to, I just wish it was like the old days. Remember the old days? Remember how great it was years ago, like I did with the 80s? Remember how boredom was so great? You know, like we're uncomfortable. Some of us are uncomfortable in our relationships with our spouse or with our kids or with our parents. And rather than existing in the discomfort and inviting God to help us explore what we're feeling. And think we go, remember back in the old days when we did it this way, you know, the world's so different. Or we jump ahead to the future. Oh, this is what I really want. I'm so unhappy with what's happening in the present. If only things could be like this. And both of those departures get us out of the reality of the present moment. And we have to be very careful with that. I think when we're younger, our temptation toward fantasizing about the future and utopia is a big problem. And I think as we get older, romanticizing the past is a big problem. Where God's like, I made you for right now. I want you to activate your faith right now. I want you to engage in relationships right now. So we have to refuse that. And then another way to do it would be stay connected to the natural world. I believe, this is my own personal belief, I believe human beings are built for natural environments. I think there's just something about how we were made. I think we are different on grass than concrete. I think we're different in fresh air than we are in rooms. And I think built into our soul through our body is an intuitive connectivity with God that happens when we're in the natural world. And I think even non-religious people know that. The South Bay, for example, there is a culture in the South Bay of optimism and spirituality, even if people aren't religious. And that's because we have beaches and we have great weather. People are just spiritual here. So what would it mean? Get outside of the office, take a walk around the block. On the way home from school, take a walk. The end of the day, as you're finishing off, go take a walk in the night air. Get up in the morning, be outside. One other way that we can connect with God in presentness, embrace the many ways to connect with God through prayer. Sometimes when we talk about prayer, people think, oh, I've got these written prayers, or I'm not a good talker, and prayer is supposed to be eloquent, and I'm not really good at being eloquent. Some of us grew up with certain kinds of prayers, or even like, I know some people, like, when they pray, they're talking like this, and then when they pray, the language even becomes so formal. And so prayer, there's just a lot of different ways to pray. And if you believe God is present everywhere, all the time, I think prayer becomes a little bit more simple, because it's about relating to someone who is there with you throughout all your day and night, who's present in your sleeping hours, who is present all the time. So here's some helpful elements to prayer. Gratitude and remembering. I personally think this is the best way to start prayer. You start with remembering and being thankful for the good things in your life. Thinking about them, spending time. Don't start with requests. Start with awareness of what you actually have already. Being grateful. It nurtures a sense of joy. Confession is a normal part of prayer. That's when you admit your faults and your shortcomings and your sins to God, and you ask him for forgiveness. Now, some of us spend way too much time on confession. You sensitive-hearted people, like, your whole prayer is you beating yourself up for ways that you fail. Don't do that. Make it part of your prayer, but not the whole thing. There are others of you here who spend no time on it. You need to spend some time on it. You're like, I just love you, Lord. Everything's going great. And God's like, you know you're totally messed up, right? So, like, spend some time on it. And your ability to openly disclose those things to God is good for your soul. It also helps you relate better to others because everybody else knows how messed up you are. The third one is making requests. This is where we say, God, here's what I need. Here's what I'm asking for. And the great part is God is open and hears us and wants to walk with us through those things. And then there's praying for others. Now, this is a big one. I'll remind you what I talked about last week. Praying for others is not only praying for your family and friends. It's praying for your enemies. It's not praying on your enemies. It's also not praying against your enemies. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. This is the hard one. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't have the luxury of hating people. You're not allowed to. You can have anger and displeasure. Those are real emotions. But you're not entitled to hate who you perceive to be your enemies. Because Jesus said you have to love them and you have to pray for them. Now, I can tell you one of the challenges I deal with this regularly. This is just in my own personal life. I deal with this kind of regularly, and I don't have a good answer for this. But especially this weekend with the news of what's happening in the world, as I'm praying for followers of Jesus who are in government, the military, and any enforcement career, I'm praying like, God, help. If they're in these jobs and positions with power and authority, they have to do their job, but they're called to be humble peacemakers by Jesus. They're called to love their enemies. Help them do that. Help them navigate that tension. And that's hard. And I don't have a good answer for how to do it. I do understand why so many of the first Christians were pacifists. It's just cleaner. But there's something here in our presentness and our prayerfulness that is about bringing the message of love and peace to the world. And how do I do that? How do we do that? Because it is a distinguishing feature of followers of Jesus. We don't adopt the culture of hate that our surroundings have, no matter what country we're living in. We just don't do that. We can't do that. And maybe some of it is nurtured by another practice that can help us in prayer, and that is silence and solitude. Some of you who are highly sensitive people like me, you crave silence and solitude. You love turning off electronics and you just want to go be by yourself in a room and you love that. Others of you are sensory seeking people that you're like, it's too quiet in here. You know, we need more noise. We need more activity. Can you imagine? This is part of the challenge of doing church services, right? Because we have sensory seeking people who want the music louder. And then we have highly sensitive people that are like, God is more quiet. You know, and so we're all kind of like laying our theological beliefs on our own nervous systems or whatever, you know. So the purpose of silence and solitude, though, is not to encourage your introversion and isolation. The purpose is to retreat into a quiet, solitary moment to be renewed so you can better love God, your neighbor, and your enemy. And Jesus did this kind of all the time. Here's a great section of the New Testament. It says, vast crowds came to hear Jesus preach and to be healed of their diseases, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness or to a solitary place for prayer. And we actually, there's another account that says that the disciples woke up one morning and they were like, where's Jesus? Oh, he's off praying again. He would often go away to a solitary place, ground himself, get refocused on who he is in God, not who he is by what the culture says, so that he could be about the mission of God in his life. That's what those practices can help us with. So one more action step for today, ask someone about how you can pray for them and then set aside time to do it. Who could that be? Who in your life could you talk to? And they don't have to be a religious person. You can ask somebody, you know, hey, I've heard a message this weekend at our church service about praying for people, and I thought, can I pray for you? Yeah, what specifically? Or how would you like me to pray? That's the really good question. Don't assume you know what they want prayer for. Ask them, how can I pray for you? And then you know what? Pray that. And you could say, do you want me to pray for you right now or just in my own time? And then pray that thing. This is something Christians do, though. This is a problem with Christians. You'd be like, hey, can you pray for me? Yep. Lord, would you just, I didn't even tell you what I wanted prayer for, you know? And then follow up with them. Say, hey, you mentioned that thing that I was going to pray for you about last week. I pray, any updates? How are you doing now? What's going on with that? I got one more thing to tell you about presence and prayer, but before I do that and we finish, let me just conclude what we talked about today. We can connect with God by being more prayerfully present in our lives. A couple of ways we can do that. Remember that God is always present everywhere. It's not about God showing up, it's about us showing up. What do we need to do differently so we can be more aware of God's presence in our lives, even during those unpleasant times? And then embrace the many ways to connect with God through prayer. If God is present everywhere, there's all different ways to connect with him. You could read written prayers. You can do spontaneous prayers. You can sit in silence and reflect on who God is. You can read the Bible, and your reading of the Bible out loud could be a prayer. And you could pray for other people and be grateful for what you have and confess those areas of faults you have and make requests. And the bigger part is continue to allow your heart to be shifted where you have love for people, even those people you so disagree with. And let that love work at extinguishing hate. Here's the last thing. When being present and praying, just be a normal person. Just don't be weird. You know, when I talk about prayer, people are just like, all right, I'm gonna be present. Lord, here we go. Like, oh, show up, you know, like, oh, I'm present, make it happen. We're expecting some the heavens to be torn open and something happen. It's like, no, you're there. God's there. Just be present with God. And when you're praying, it's like it doesn't have to be some apocalyptic thing. Like, here we go. I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna bring heaven down and stuff like that. Just a lot of that. I get it. It's very powerful. There are times where I've felt that kind of urgency, but the weirdness factor is way over the top for Christians sometimes. And it's like it becomes this hype event where I'm trying to hype God to show up and hype God to do something. It's like, just be present. Look. God is here. Just be here too. Let me pray for us. Would you all stand? We're going to close our service now. If you want somebody to pray with you, we have our team that's going to be over here by the cross at both locations. If you're new with us, you'd like to find out more about our church, stop in our connections area right outside on the way out. We'd love to help you kind of take the next step in figuring out who we are and what we do here. Let's just have a little moment of silence, kind of in honor of all that's going on in our world, and maybe just to be fully present in this moment, and then I'll close us. God, we're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you are present in all the areas of our lives. Forgive us of our shortcomings, the areas that we have missed being who you are calling us to be. Help us with that, and help us to love you and our neighbors and our enemies. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.